We're here in the book of Jude, and we believe Jude is an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. That seems to carry through in the scriptures, and we've considered a little bit about who he might be more than that, possibly even a half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Seems to be the brother of James, who is the pastor there at Jerusalem, and he is writing to the saints. He's making a comparison, a contrast between what? Believers and unbelievers. Those that believe the Word of God and hold true and hold it dear unto them, and then those who do not believe. Okay? And that's the contrast that he's making. We read here in verse number 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, set apart by him, and preserved in Jesus Christ, okay, hallowed, if you will, and called to the Lord. The Spirit is used by the Lord, and His Word is used to call the sinner unto salvation. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. He wants these things to be multiplied, and it's a blessed thing that they are. Mercy unto us, and the continuance of us not being given what we deserve, peace with our Lord. It's that joy of the Lord that we have within us, between us and the Lord, and we are obedient to the Lord, we follow the Lord, we don't have guilt hanging on over us because of disobedience. When we do sin against our Lord, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, right? John writes, we can confess our sins, and He's faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Peace and love be multiplied. And that's sure better than being added, isn't it? Be multiplied. It's a wonderful thing. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you. A common salvation, it's the same. Every sinner is saved the same way. Needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend, okay, contend and work what was the word? I'm looking here in my notes to that the word fails me. Earnestly contend. Earnestly contend to struggle for, okay, a synonym there, to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And we looked about that, how when Jesus came, lived, died, suffered, bled, and died, was buried, and rose again, it was accomplished in Him, that redemptive work. And that was delivered unto us. The apostles, they said over and over again, we're to be, Jesus said unto them, you're to be witnesses of my resurrection. And they said, we are witnesses of His resurrection and what He did. We're witnesses of His gospel. This was delivered unto us. For there, verse number 4, for there are certain men that are against this. Certain men crept in unawares. Crept in where? In society? Well, they're there in society, but they're crept in unawares amongst the Lord's people, amongst the Lord's churches, and we have to beware. We're given guidance, we're given instruction about how to beware. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who being before of old ordained to this condemnation, no spiritual work of the Lord in their lives, no spiritual movement in their lives of the Lord, ungodly men, that's where we're at, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, which is a terrible, terrible, wicked thing that's being done. It's above, beyond adultery. It's beyond fornication. It's beyond inordinate affection. It's just looking for and stirring up and looking for and living for more of that which is sensual. We'll look at that. And in so, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? They deny His Word. They deny what He says is just and right and true. Presently, we're here in verse number 4 and considering about ungodly men. How is it that ungodly men, that's talking about from the standpoint of mankind, this can be men, this can be women, this can be boys, this can be girls, okay? But ungodly men, how is it that the Scripture defines them? We took a look last time in 1 Timothy chapter 3. We'll not look at that again. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and And I just want to read a couple words here from that. They are those without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. We're admonished to turn away from their wicked way. They have a form of godliness. They claim the Lord, but deny the power thereof. From such turn away. They're ever learning. They stand against the men of God and the truth of God's word. Their folly will lead to their destruction. And he says, you have known how I have behaved before you, a summary of what he says there in 2 Timothy 3. And then he speaks about evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But then we're admonished to continue in what? The Scriptures. In the Scripture, which we do have in the English language, in this King James translation that we have the Word of God with us. We want to know, we want to consider, and the Paul outlined it for Timothy there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, about how those ungodly men are seen and known, what they pursue and what their interest is. We want to take a look over here in Matthew chapter 7, and we read this last time, and we just want to expound upon it a little bit, about what the Lord Jesus himself said about ungodly men. Men, they may be claimed to be the Lord's. They may claim to know the way of the Lord, but they seek their own way and the way of the flesh. That's what they know. Listen to this. The Lord Jesus here in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7:15 is speaking of false prophets. They say they have a word from God, but they are false. How can it be known? Listen to this. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. They've got a facade. They look like one of the Lord's. The apostle warns that even in 1st or 2nd Corinthians and those epistles to the church at Corinth, that even Satan is transformed into an angel of light. So if that's the case with Satan, no quandary to the mind if his ministers would be. And so what we have to evaluate is not only the words that come from the mouth, but how are the words that come from the mouth manifested in the life? Okay, and Jesus is telling us about this. He said, inside, but inwardly, they are ravening wolves. They don't care about the sheep one whit. When, if you will, what we saw this morning and what Jesus told us in relationship with the child of God, with the Father and the Son, abide in me, and how it is the relationship between the children of the Lord and other children of the Lord is that we should have a love one for another as Christ has loved us. And then the relationship that we have with the world, that if the world the world hated the Lord, as we stand in the Lord and stand for the truth of God's word, the world is going to hate us. It's no marvel. And so, but what's going to be seen? Those that come in sheep's clothing inwardly are ravening wolves. And what do wolves like to do? They like to eat sheep. They like to destroy sheep. Satan goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And that's a warning to the children of God. We're secure in Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ says he gives everlasting life, it means it's forever. But I tell you what, there's an element in this life that if we obey the word of God and we follow after our Lord, this life is saved to the honor and glory and praise of our God. That which is natural, this old body, that which is carnal, this old mind and body, can be mortified by the word of God and the obedience of the Lord. And even that which is against God naturally can be taken, and for the little short time of life that's left after the Lord saves our souls, and when I say a little short time, that might be 70 or 80 years, but really in context of eternity, that's not much time, is it? But in 70, 60, 50, 40, 30, whatever the case is with you, when the Lord saved you in time, that old man and that old mind can be taken and be mortified by what the Word of God says and be used to the honor and glory and praise of God. I tell you what, you follow after the flesh, you follow after the way of the world, you start listening to this body, and you start listening to what comes naturally to this mind, and you start listening, you and I start listening to what this whole world just spews out and broadcasts to us every day, every minute, every hour, and every minute of the day. And I tell you what, our lives can be lost. They can be destroyed. Our testimony and witness for the Lord can be compromised. When the Lord saves a soul, it's eternally secure. That soul will live eternally as long as Jesus lived. And the Scripture says He died once and is alive forevermore. We'll live forever. But I tell you what, your life can sure be destroyed. And how is it? We are admonished. We just observed the Lord's Supper, and we're admonished by the Lord to do some introspection. What's going on with our lives? What's going on with these physical lives relative to the honor and glory and praise of God? Is mine and your physical life a testimony and honor and glory and praise to God? Or are we a witness of the world and what the world would do? We're either a witness of the Lord or a witness of the world. Jesus said, "These come in sheep's clothing. They look good, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." They won't love the sheep. They will never be found to lay down their life for a sheep. They'll never be found willing to give of themselves in a great personal way. Oh, they might be found giving money. They might be found doing this. But when it really, really gets tough, they won't be found there. Because what they're interested in is consuming sheep, wrecking sheep. They're not interested in the sheep other than what they can get for themselves. Jesus came and gave us everything and did nothing for Himself. And that's the example that we have. Do we do to reciprocate? I'll do for you so you can do for me. Or do we do one for another because we're the Lord's? And a wolf won't ever be found doing giving of self and not looking for return. Ye shall know them by their fruits. And so there it is, fruit. Fruits at hand. Do men gather grapes of thorns? No. The figs of thistles? Are we going to look to go out here and get acorns from these blackberry bushes or whatever they are, canes? We're not. We're looking to get blackberries. And I hope we get a bunch. It'll be good on ice cream, won't it, and cobbler. But we don't expect to get something else. We don't expect there to be roses and thorns on those. Okay? You know, like a rose bush. There may be that which pertains to them on them. But we don't expect to get oranges. Don't expect to get cockleburrs off of that. Do we? He says, "You'll know, ye shall know them by their fruits." We're known by our fruit. You know what? Each and every one of us, our reputation precedes us. Our reputation precedes us. The Scripture says, and we saw it in Proverbs, that even a child is known by his doings. That's a witness and testimony to us as parents that we need to direct our children and correct our children, instruct our children to go in a right, good way, because even as a child, they're known by what they do. They're known by their attitude. They're known but whether they respect the authority and adults over them or not. They're known whether they say yes ma'am or no ma'am or sass. They're known early on. And so do well that we would instruct them to behave well. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather these of that which doesn't pertain of them? No. Figs of thistles? No. Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit, as just as we saw this morning, is hewn down and cast into the fire. Are you a good tree or an evil tree? Are you a thriving branch in the vine, or are you a withered branch that's going to be cut away and burned? Are you a thriving branch and a growing branch in the vine that the husbandman needs to come around and prune every now and then so you can grow more fruit? But if you're not in the vine, you're not going to produce anything but wicked fruit and bad fruit and evil fruit. It's the way that it is. A good tree, verse 18, can not bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. I didn't have it in my notes here, but I want to go ahead and take a look at these other verses. Look at this. You know, talk is so cheap. It is. You know, I say something to you, and I failed in promises that I've made to folks, to my family, to my wife, that we say things when our yea needs to be yea and our nay needs to be nay. But look to do something, have good intentions, and just don't get the job done. And we need to do well in what we commit to. But, you know, talk is cheap. The doing is what shows what somebody believes. What we believe is what we do. Know that. What we believe is what we do. Listen to this. Not everyone, verse 21 there in Matthew 7, that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the doers of the word will be blessed, James tells us. Not the hearers of the word, but the doers of the word. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, listen to this. Have we not prophesied in thy name, told the word of God? And in thy name cast out devils. Wow, they're doing good things. Is it a bad thing to cast out a devil? That's their claim. I don't know if they really got it done or not. But is that a bad thing? No, that's not a bad thing to cast out a demon out of folks. And I believe that those things were held for the apostles in that. And in thy name done many wonderful works. We've done some wonderful things. We've helped burned children. We've helped children with birth defects. And that's a good thing. There's not a thing wrong with helping a child that's been burned or with a birth defect or with a bone malady or seriously injured or hurt in some way. There's not a thing wrong with helping a child. Those are good things, aren't they? And they claim that they've done many, and in thy name done many wonderful works. They even claim the name of the Lord. But do you notice what their claim is? Have not we. Their claim is self. God loves me because I. Well, God loves us because He loves us. God loves us because He loves us in Christ. God loves us because we have taken and stand before the Lord and taken God's side against ourselves. It's not a thing about Jim Duke. But it's all about what Jesus has done for me. It's not a thing about what you've done or promised the Lord, but it's about what Jesus has done for me. He came and lived for me. As a brother led us in the song, He did those things for me. You would say that and sing that. He did those things for me. For you. But they say, Lord, Lord, have we not? We look to make ourselves acceptable by what we've done. And you can't make. You and I, no sinner on earth has been, is, and ever will be, can make themselves acceptable before God. You can't do it. You need Jesus. Yeah. Have not we. We stand before the Lord in glory. I wonder if the answer is, if we would be asked the question, what are you doing here? The answer to the question is, Lord, you know. You know. You've saved me. You've forgiven me. You made me your own. The Son has died for me. But those false prophets, those wolves in sheep clothing, they look to pursue what they can get out of the sheep. And when they stand before the Lord, they talk about themselves. Have not we? Have we not prophesied in thy name, cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, this is Jesus speaking, because he's the Savior, he's the judge, I never knew you. There wasn't a time that I even knew you. Abide in me, and I in you. It's necessary that the Lord abide in us. Amen? Yeah. We need the Lord in us. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Those are wonderful things, good things that they've done. And the Lord calls them iniquity. Why is that? Because they're pursuing self-righteousness. And the pursuit of self-righteousness before the Lord is iniquity and abomination. Because we cannot attain to such. False prophets, they'll be known by their fruits. You and I, the Lord's children, are known by our fruits. Let's take a look quickly, and I trust you know this, but we always need to review these things and be reminded of them. In Galatians chapter 5, let's just take a run through here about what the Lord says fruit is. Fruit. Fruit. In Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust or the desire of the flesh. Start following what the flesh wants, and you've got trouble. You and I have trouble. They said, walk in the Spirit. He says, the Scripture says, if we live in the Spirit, verse number 25, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we have life and salvation by the Spirit of the Lord, let us walk the rest of our time, as Peter says. I like that. I find that interesting. Let us walk the rest of our time, not to the will of the flesh, but to the will of the Spirit of God. Let us walk that way, not seeking our own. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. It desires against what the Spirit is looking towards. And the Spirit, it lusteth or desires against the flesh. There's a warfare. There's a fight. Do you have a battle within? If you don't have a battle within, something's wrong. If you don't have a struggle, if you don't find yourself trying to mortify the flesh, and then the flesh will get away and do some stuff, will say some stuff, think some stuff, pursue after some stuff, and then the Spirit gets in there, thank God, and says, no, that's a wrong way, that's a wrong thing. We say, forgive me, Father. If that's not there, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Abide in me, and I in you, the Lord Jesus said from the message this morning. For the flesh and the Spirit are warring against each other, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. We're in a struggle. We're in a battle. We're in a warfare. And things come along, and I just want to run and hide. But what I need to do when I want to run and hide is I need to go to the Lord. Amen? When I want to give up, no, I don't need to give up. I need to go to the Lord and ask for strength and help. When the things of life get us down, and as I mentioned this morning, we're burdened. Oh, we don't need to look at the burden and how we're so unable and so incapable to do anything, to change anything. We need to go to the Lord, through whom nothing is impossible. Amen? He says, But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Not under the law. We're not saved by the law directly. We're saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, by He completing the law. We're saved by His favor upon us and His imputation of His righteousness towards us and the imputation of our sin to Him. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. The flesh enjoys very much adultery and fornication. Adultery, one going out on their spouse. And in a sense, if you will, in the committing of fornication, going out on the spouse before you even come to the point of marriage, young people. Fornication, illicitness and intimacy with one to whom you're not married, and this fornication even covers the wickedness of sodomy and lesbianism today. It's a furtherance of that uncleanness. There it is. Wickedness and pornography, the things that are described over in Romans chapter 1, where men look to find God in creation and in themselves, and the Lord just gives them over to reprobate minds, and they just go further and further and further and further. We live in a wicked day. Uncleanness, lasciviousness. Here we see it listed, and Brother Jude is going to tell us about that these ungodly men, they want to take the grace of God, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. The same word is used here in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 7. And delivered justified Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. The two angels came to the city and told Lot that they needed to get out of the city and his family. And they went there to spend the night in Lot's household. And the men of the city came there to take those angels and to abuse them. To abuse them in a wicked, sodomite way. That's that word lasciviousness. Filthy conversation. Lasciviousness. That's what the work of the flesh is. Idolatry, verse 20 goes on to say, and witchcraft, hatred, variance. There's a lot of hatred today, isn't there? A lot of hatred, variance, emulations, wrath. There's a lot of anger with legs on it today, and there's strife and seditions, heresies, taking the doctrine of the Lord and corrupting it and turning it into that which it's not. Envyings, which leads to covetousness. Murders. Murders of people and murder of character. And as Satan was, when Satan tempted man, the Lord himself calls Satan a murderer. Those that are deceiving and being deceived. When anyone takes sin and puts it out there to another, remember, sin equals death. Well, we need to be careful of what we instruct folks in. We need to be careful about what we promote and what we advance. Murderers, drunkenness, not allowing the mental faculty and the spirit within the saved person, but drunkenness to be filled with other spirits, as they are called. Revelings, riotous living, and rioters, eaters of flesh, as the scripture says, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Those that follow after the flesh are not going to be inheritors of the kingdom of God. Those that follow after these works of the flesh, these fruit of the flesh, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God because they want that more than they want the Lord. They want those things more than they want the righteousness which is found in Christ. There in verse number 21, there at the end, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They're found in them. They follow after them. They want others to pursue them, as it says in Romans 1. And the apostle writes there in Romans chapter 1, there at the tail end of the chapter, he says that those that do these things, that they know that those that do these things are worthy of death. And have pleasure in them that do them. That's where the works of the flesh lead. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. And it's interesting, it's found as the first one, isn't it? Because a wolf in sheep's clothing is not going to be found to be loving. They're not. They're going to be talking about self. They're going to be talking about what they can do. They're going to be looking to see what they can get. They're always looking for reciprocation. They give in this way, they get back in this way. But we, as the Lord has freely given to us, are to freely give, especially to the household of faith. But the fruit of the Spirit is love.
and joy in the Lord and peace with God. One that desires peace for those around them. We have peace with the Lord through Jesus Christ, and we desire that others have peace through Jesus Christ. Amen? Blessed are the peacemakers, because they'll be known as the children of God. Amen? Amen? And that's the one that's made peace has sent his children to pursue peace and the carrying forth of the gospel. Long-suffering, bearing long with others as the Lord has borne long with us. Gentleness, goodness, faith. Faith, not just a character or an attribute or a fruit that's unto itself, but faith in the Lord. Yes, the Lord can do something with this. As impossible, as great, as terrible, as just out of control as this is, God can do something with it. I can't. I can't even think about what would be good, but God can take it and do something good with it. As some of you have heard me say, our sin can't thwart the Lord. We're responsible for our sin. We're responsible for our transgression, but our sin won't thwart the Lord. He can still, in His mercy and His grace, take a thing and change it to where a blessing would come out of it. All sinners will have to bear with reaping what they sow, especially the children of God. And the children of God will have to bear with the chastisement of the Lord upon them. We will. But God's able to take a thing that is so, so terribly bad, even so, so terribly wicked, and He can get honor and glory and praise out of it, and He will not be thwarted by it if He chooses to and pleases to do so. He's able. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Meekness. Having the ability to whip everybody in the room, and just because you can, you don't. The Lord was meek, wasn't He? But our brother read this morning how He ran all those money changers out of there. And there's no, we don't see in the Scripture any threat of them coming back or challenging Him, do we? They saw He meant business. And they got out of there. And then the Scripture tells that on one of those accounts when He did that, He wouldn't suffer anybody to even carry an animal through as they tried to clean up the mess or catch the animals or however that was. He said, "Get on out of here." And He drove them off till He left. Moses, the most meek man in all the world, he had times he had to stand up against what? 1 million? 2 million? 3 million? Children of Israel and say, "This is what God says." And he blasted them at the end, and the Lord held him accountable for it. But he was given of the Lord to lead them, and he had ability and strength. He killed a man at 40 years old with his bare hands. Meekness. You won't see that out of a ravening wolf. You won't see meekness out of a ravening wolf. Temperance, self-control, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. You won't see that out of a false prophet. You won't see the crucifying of the flesh. You won't see the crucifying of the flesh with the affections, the desires, and the desires of the flesh. You won't see that out of a false prophet and a wolf in sheep's clothing. You won't see that out of ungodly men. By fruit will be known. By fruit they will be known. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in this life in the Spirit. Let us take this good book of God and this instruction of the Lord, and let us apply it to everyday living and life. This book is spiritual. It's by the Spirit from God to us. And it's our instruction book in every way. And if we live, we have salvation by the Spirit of God. Let us walk in that same Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another or envying one another. And this admonition comes to those churches in Galatia. It comes to us. Do I need your praise? Everybody loves to be praised. And we should well be encouragers in the church. We should. We should encourage one another. But is our service, do I serve to get accolades and praise from you? Or do we serve to get the praise of our God and to hear from our Lord, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Do we have to let others know what we've done so we feel good about it? Or is our relationship with the Lord strong enough that we know that our service is unto Him, and that if we serve Him and obey Him in what He does, He'll give us what we need, whatever it may be, whether it's even known in this life or not? To please our Lord and Savior is good enough. Let us not be desirous of vain glory. Because see, the praise on this earth is going to pass away. But those things that we lay up in heaven, that treasure we lay up in heaven in obedience to the Lord, those things are eternal. Those things we send ahead, amen, provoking one another and envying one another. In Hebrews it says that we should provoke one another to love and good works. We should. But I don't need to be doing my service to the Lord so I can make you feel bad. I need to serve my Lord with joy and happiness and do all things heartily as unto Him. Amen? And if it's a blessing to you, if what you do is a blessing and a witness to me, then great. If you do it just for that, just so I can see it. You know, a lot of people serve just to keep the pastor off their back. You know, why is it that church members would be afraid of the pastor? Don't need to be afraid of the pastor if you're not doing anything wrong. But if a church member would be afraid of the pastor and the pastor tries to pursue what's right, I mean, you can have a pastor that's just a train wreck. You can, morally, or a lack of understanding of the Scripture, or whatever. But why is it that church members would look to hide what they do from the pastor? The Lord's always watching. I'm just a man. Hear that? It's the Lord that's always watching us. It is. And so why would that be? And there's a certain honor that should be there and all that. But don't serve just to keep the pastor happy. You're missing the mark. You're missing the mark if you're serving just to keep the pastor happy. Because our Lord's always watching. And He's the one that's the judge. And so let us not be desirous of vainglory. If we do well and the pastor's pleased, but then the Lord really knows the truth. As we saw in Matthew 7, we're all going to stand before Him. Sinners without Christ at the great white throne judgment of Christ, and we who are saved before the judgment seat of Christ, right? That's when things are going to really matter, is what the Lord sees. And so let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying, being envious of one another, being begrudging of one another, being looking to incite one another rather than to admonish and to provoke to love and good works, as it says there in Hebrews, as we ought to do. Let us be walking in the Spirit. Ungodly men. We know how to find ungodly men. We know how to find ungodly behavior in our own lives. May the Lord help us that we be found faithful children. It says there in Jude, in that latter end of verse number 5, that these ungodly men are turning the grace of our God, the favor of our God upon us, into lasciviousness, filthiness, wantonness. These are those that are just looking. They're wolves that enter in amongst the Lord's people, amongst the Lord's churches, and they're looking to snag and snare anybody they can get. And they want to take them off, as we saw over there in 2 Timothy chapter 3. These are those which go into houses leading silly women laden with sins. looking for those who are weak, looking for those that will let the guard down, those that, take the truth of God's Word and His grace and want to turn it into wantonness and wretchedness and sensualness and wreck people. We hear of adultery that's found in churches and marriages that are in a wreck. Where the pastor is having illicit relationships with membership of the church and such as that. That's what this is talking about. And may those things not be found amongst us. May the Lord help us. And may the Lord help us to beware of ungodly men. We're going to close here for now and pick up our consideration of this next time.